Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to our ninth program in our series of studies on the three P's of our profession. And the three P's of our profession are preaching, and that's the first one, preaching the gospel of the kingdom throughout all the world. The second P of our profession is preparing. That means preparing those who respond to the gospel and who become disciples of Christ to actually grow into the full maturity of Christ, where they learn to think and act and feel like God thinks and acts and feels. And then the third P of our profession is providing. That means providing for people who are in need. Now, we're about to read a scripture here that shows Jesus doing all three of these things. He had as his profession the goal of saving the world. That was his job. That was his work. That was his responsibility. Well, that's the same thing as us. If we are in Christ, if we are Christians, then that has to be our profession. That has to be our mission. Our goal is to help save the world. And so you need to know what are the three P's of your profession to know if you are doing the right things and to see if you are stacking up and doing them very well. So let's turn over to Matthew, the fourth chapter, and we'll read verses 17 through 23. This is Matthew, the fourth chapter, and verses 17 through 23. In today's program, we want to focus on this phrase, the gospel of the kingdom. Our first P of our profession is preaching the gospel. And the gospel is good news. And it's the good news of what God has done, is doing, and will do through Christ. What He has done is forgive us of our sins. What He is doing is changing our hearts so that we can have loving hearts, so that we can love God with all of our heart and our minds, and we can love our neighbors as ourselves. So He's changing us from a carnal nature to a divine nature. And then what He will do is give us eternal life in spirit-composed bodies. That's through the resurrection from the dead, or being changed in the twinkling of an eye immediately when Christ returns. How glorious and how wonderful and how good this news is. That's the best news that you could ever have. So let's again read in Matthew chapter 4 and verses 17 through 23 to see that this gospel in this case is called the gospel of the kingdom. And a kingdom, it means the dominion of the king. Kingdom. And the dumb part, D-O-M, not D-U-M-B, but D-O-M, is short for dominion. And then king, it's the dominion of the king, where the king reigns. And a kingdom has a king, it has subjects, it has laws, and it has a space over which the laws and the king govern, and a place in which the subjects live. So this is the gospel of the kingdom, right? And this kingdom can be called the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. So in other words, it's God's kingdom. God is the king. His dominion is somewhere over which He rules. He has laws that He governs by. He has subjects that He governs. And God is the king of the kingdom. It's also called the kingdom of heaven because God dwells in heaven. He dwells in the third heaven. So it's the kingdom of heaven. It's not right now the kingdom even on earth. It's not a kingdom of earth. It's a kingdom of heaven. But this kingdom of heaven will come to the earth when Christ returns to the earth, because He will set up the kingdom of God here on earth. So it will be a kingdom on earth, but it's still the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Okay? So we'll see that in Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 23. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent." And repent means simply to turn around, to turn away from sin, and to turn toward righteousness. So repent, for the kingdom of heaven, and in Mark chapter 1 and verse 14 it says the kingdom of God, and that's why I say it can be used interchangeably, but repent, for the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus Christ was there as the representative of the kingdom of heaven, as the kingdom of God. So in other words, as the ambassador of the kingdom, as the representative of the kingdom, actually, as the Son of God, and as the Son of Man, as God in the flesh here on earth, he actually represented the kingdom in every way imaginable, right? So once you saw him and saw what he did and got a feeling for the way that he thought and felt about things, you knew that that's what the kingdom was all about. So let's pay close attention to these next verses here, because we're going to see what this kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven, is all about. Jesus says, this kingdom of heaven, this kingdom of God is at hand, because I'm here right in front of your face, right? I'm here at this time, in this space, so it is at hand. And walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, and they were casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Not fishers of fish, but fishers of men. And notice their reaction. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Oh, my friends, if you would just please, if you have not committed your heart to the Lord, to follow him, to live by his every word, to forsake living your own way, but to study the word of God and to live by every word of God, if you will simply immediately drop to your knees and ask God to forgive you of your sins. That's the first step in repentance, is asking God for the forgiveness of your sins, and then asking God to send Christ into your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that now you can live a righteous life through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you do that, you will have life abundantly now and life beyond compare in the world tomorrow, when Christ comes back and he brings with him the resurrected saints. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead, the first one who was resurrected from the dead and given eternal life. But at the resurrection of the dead, when Christ returns, he will bring with him those who have died in the faith, or for those who are still alive, when Christ returns, they will be changed in the twinkling of an eye immediately, and they will inherit eternal life. So if you immediately give your heart to the Lord, then you can be on this path to eternal life and to all of the joys that are associated with eternal life, and even life now. Because believe me, life now is so rich. I have so much peace, so much joy. People that know me know that I love life, not because of all of the pain and suffering and the sorrow that I see. It's because of the hope that I have, the absolute assurance that all of this pain and suffering will be done away with, that there is a better way coming. And actually, right now, I've been entrusted with the responsibility to help teach people to live the way of life that everybody will live in the future, but to live it now, to receive the blessings of peace and joy right now in this life. Okay, and so Christ says that these people, Peter and Andrew, followed him immediately. And then Jesus Christ continued on, and he went and talked to two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, and they were mending their nets, so they were also fishermen. And he called them, and they immediately left the boat, and they left their father, and they followed him. See, they put Christ first. They didn't let anything, not even their father or their other business, get in their way. They became full-time followers of Christ. And we can become full-time followers of Christ, not in the sense that we quit our jobs and we follow Jesus Christ and we get into a full-time ministry and get paid by that, but symbolically and literally, in a real sense of the word, we can follow God full-time in that we are always putting God first. We are always thinking the thoughts of God, which are revealed in the pages of the Bible. These are the scriptures, and in them is salvation. This is the power of God to transform our lives, these words of truth, these words of life. And so please, have that same attitude and that approach that these four disciples did of immediately following after Christ. Now, what are some of the things Christ said would happen before he returns? This is also a part of the gospel of the kingdom. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 24, and we'll just briefly skim over verses 1 through 14. So this is Matthew chapter 24, and verses 1 through 14. These are some of the things God says are going to happen on this earth prior to the kingdom of God being set up on this earth when Christ returns. This will be his second coming, which we believe is very soon, because of these very signs he gave that his kingdom would be appearing very soon. So this is when Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him. This was near the end of Christ's life. And they came to him and said to him, Jesus, please tell us, what shall be the sign that all of these temples and these buildings will be thrown down? And what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that nobody deceives you. So that's religious deception. Then he goes on to say, now you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and certainly we hear of lots of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all of these things must occur, but the end is not yet. So that's not the ultimate sign. It says, for nation is going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. So there's ethnic warfare, there's national warfare, but that's not all there is. There's going to be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places, and you've seen that for sure. It says all of these things are just the beginning of sorrows. This is like when a woman first starts to have her contractions right before she's giving birth. But that's just the beginning. As the contractions come closer and closer together and they increase in intensity, that's when you know that the delivery is very near. So then he goes on to say, then they will deliver you up to be afflicted and will kill you. All the faithful followers of God will be persecuted because of preaching this same gospel, which an evil world that's headed toward death and destruction in their darkness is not going to want to have the light shine upon them to show up their sins. So they're going to try to snuff out the light, and we are to be the light of the world. So people will try to snuff out our life. They will try to snuff out our light. It says, you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and many will be offended and betray one another. But don't worry about that. And you don't have to worry about that because of this right here. It says, but he who endures to the end, the same shall be kept safe. So God promises that those people who endure to the end, who do not deny Christ, but who remain faithful, instead of denying Christ, they are bold even in continuing to preach the gospel, then they are the ones who will be kept safe. They are the ones who will be given eternal life. Now notice this. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then, that's right, and then the end shall come. This is the surefire sign that the end of the world is near. When this gospel, the same gospel that I'm preaching to you today, when this gospel is preached throughout all the world, that's when you know that the end will come. Well, the end has come for this program. I thank you for joining me on this program, and I hope that you'll be back for the next program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.